Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
We are in week three of a message series called Overwhelmed, and this has been a pretty awesome series. If you've been here for all 3 weeks, man, you've heard God doing amazing things in people who have been in the services, and I think you've heard God's heart talking to people, and you know, because we've all been there, who are in that moment in life where you are just overwhelmed. I know we've all been there. We've all had those moments in life where it just feels like everything is just out of control. Sometimes it feels like you're just trying to hold like a bunch of sand in your hands and it's just slipping through. You can't keep your handle on everything. For some of us, that feeling of being overwhelmed is like bands across your chest and it makes it hard to breathe and you find yourself just going all the time just to try and like get yourself to breathe oxygen into your lungs, okay, to feed your brain. And so we all know what it's like to be overwhelmed. And in this message series, we've talked about a couple things that God wants us to know about how to manage these situations in our life. The first week, we talked about the reality that God loves us. And that if you are someone who loves God, if you are someone who has surrendered your life to him and you're living your life according to his call and to his purpose, that he wants to work everything out for your good. And so the first week, we talked about the fact that if in your situation, if it's not good, that God's not done yet. If your situation is not good, then God isn't finished. He's still working, and you can trust him to do that. Last week, we talked about the fact that many of us know what it's like to not be okay, all right? We know what it's like to have stress and anxiety, and for some of us, that stress becomes anxiety that requires medication because it's such a big deal, and for some of us, that anxiety becomes so big, and when unmanaged or undealt with, it becomes depression, and mental illness is a real thing, and you know, just as an aside, it's something that the church needs to be willing to talk about because we don't need people walking through our doors who need God's help, need God to work in their lives, but we can't talk about those things. And we talked about the fact, like, I wear contact lenses because I'm super blind. You know, I couldn't see anyone's face from 10 feet away if I didn't have my contacts in. And I'll totally talk about that, but somehow we're ashamed or embarrassed to talk about the fact that we may struggle with anxiety or depression or other issues like that. We talked about with God in our lives that it's okay to not be okay, but it's not God's plan for us to stay that way. It's okay for us to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay in that state because God's heart for us is not to live in a season or in a sickness of being overwhelmed all the time. And so coming into this week, I just got to confess, I've been thinking a lot in this message series about times in my life where I have been overwhelmed. And there's one that I thought of, and some of you guys are going to think this is dumb and like it's super small, but like this stuff overwhelms me and it just makes me go crazy. Has anyone had to deal with like computer problems or like a broken computer? Oh my word. I'm like, I gotta take a deep breath now because I'm just about to tell you about how stressful computer problems are for me. I had a laptop, and you know this, if you have a laptop, for many of us, it is your life. Everything is on it, right? Your work, your personal stuff, your pictures. I mean, like your laptop is literally a clone of your life. And it feels like if that dies, you know, God, just take me to heaven right now. You know, I'm done. And so my laptop it started going out. It was doing these weird things where I would be on it and it would just die in the middle of what I was doing. And I'd have to restart it and it would boot up again and I'd have it for a couple hours and then it would just randomly die again. And it was like super stressful. And I'm in that situation where it's like, okay, I don't know what's wrong with my computer. I researched it online. I couldn't find any good solutions. So I couldn't fix it on my own. And I was in that overwhelming situation where I was like, okay, I feel like the solution to this problem might be bigger than the problem itself. Because I could take it in and I'm going to have to pay $80 for them just to look at the computer, right? Because just to look at it, that's what they're going to charge. They might find something wrong with it that is super expensive. And so I'm already at $80, and then I've got to fix something that's crazy expensive. Maybe they're going to tell me my computer is unsalvageable and I've got to do something else. And I would rather not even know that because let me just play with this thing until it dies, right? And so like even in being overwhelmed, I didn't really want to take my computer in because the solution felt almost just as overwhelming. Anybody ever been in that situation? It's like, trying to fix this is going to be almost as overwhelming as the problem itself. But there's a principle in that, and it's this. It's that an overwhelming problem requires an overwhelming solution. Very few times in our lives do we have overwhelming problems, problems that are so big for us, mountains that we can't get over that are standing in our path. Very rarely are there those overwhelming problems that you can just fix with just like, oh, I just needed to step this way and everything's fine. Usually, an overwhelming problem requires an overwhelming solution. And for some of us, like me in my computer situation, it was easier to just not try to fix it because the potential that could happen if I tried the overwhelming solution and it didn't work was almost just too much for me. So I just lived with it, which stunk, okay? My computer kept locking up, kept dying just randomly, but I was like, you know what? Who knows what could be wrong with it? I'm just gonna live with it. And so I did until my computer totally died. It just died. So I had to take it in. I took it in. I paid the $80 for them to look at it. They called me back that afternoon and said, we think we figured out what it is. We've plugged it in, and it looks like your hard drive is bad. So you need to get a new hard drive, and that should solve the problems. So, okay, immediately overwhelming because I got to, like, take my old hard drive, got to get a new hard drive. I got to copy everything from the old hard drive to the new hard drive, put the new hard drive into the old computer because I'm not paying them to do that. I can do it on my own. And so $200 later, solid-state hard drive, state-of-the-art, super nice. Everything's cloned over. It's copied. I put it into my computer. I start it up. I'm working, and it's great until it does the same thing, and it dies on me. So I'm like, oh, $200. So I took it back in with a brand-new solid-state hard drive. I was like, hey, problem's still going on. They're like, okay, we'll take a look at it. They plug it in, call me back. They say, okay, it looks like the logic board on your computer is no good. That's the fault we're getting. And so to fix your computer, we're going to have to replace the logic board. I'm like, well, how much is that going to cost? Well, it's going to cost about $500. Okay. So now's the point, like, this happens with car repairs too, where you're like, okay, $500, how much would it cost me to get a new computer if I replaced this? And I figured out, okay, a new computer is like $1,200. This is $500. I'll just bite the bullet. I'll replace the logic board. It'll be fine. So pay the $500. They replace the logic board. I pick up my computer. I take it home. It's working great until it crashes again. So I'm $700 deep into computer repairs at this point, and my computer is doing the exact same thing it was doing all along. Took it back in, and finally, we figured out what was wrong with the computer. Okay? You ready for this? This is what was wrong with my computer. The hard drive cable that connects the hard drive to the logic board was bad. You know how much I paid for that hard drive cable? $12. $12. My computer was broken. I was so overwhelmed by it, and it required a $12 fix. And here's the thing. Like, I was happy to pay the $12 and put that thing in myself because my computer was basically brand new at that point, right? New hard drive, new logic board. I have a new computer. And here's the thing. Just because your problem is overwhelming, and just because your overwhelming problem requires an overwhelming solution, it doesn't necessarily mean that that overwhelming solution is out of reach. Now, for me, it took me a long road to get my overwhelming problem fixed with my computer. But by the end of it, I had it fixed. And sometimes the overwhelming solution to your problem can actually be a fairly small, simple, and straightforward thing. If you were with us at the beginning of the year, remember we had a message series called Think Small, and we talked about the fact that sometimes a small adjustment in your life, sometimes those small adjustments can have big changes. Sometimes taking a step in the right direction or making a small change in your life can have a huge impact. And even though your problem's overwhelming, even though your circumstances may be overwhelming, you don't have to live an overwhelming life. And here's the thing. God doesn't want you to live an overwhelmed life. That's not his plan and his purpose for you. And so, your overwhelming situation requires an overwhelming solution, but that solution is within reach. It's available. So what happens when those are your circumstances? What happens when you're overwhelmed by stress or by worry or anxiety, maybe depression? What happens when it feels like your life is going a million miles an hour and you are just completely spinning out of control? What is the overwhelming solution to that? I'm in that overwhelming situation. Okay, the solution may be overwhelming as well, but what is it? Because I want to take those steps. I don't want to live like this anymore. Today we're going to look at a passage out of the book of Philippians that the Apostle Paul wrote. And what it's going to do is it's going to speak to us about really kind of a cure to anxiety. A cure to being overwhelmed. God's fix to this situation in our lives. And it starts this way in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And this is how the Apostle Paul begins. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I mean, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? I'm worried, I have anxiety, and the solution is, okay, don't do that. And instead, you should pray about everything. I mean, it sounds like a fortune cookie, doesn't it? Like a proverb. Like, it sounds so simple. Let me tell you a little bit about the people Paul was writing this to. Paul's writing this to a church in a city called Philippi, which is why it's called the Philippians, because that's what they were. They were Philippians. And the Philippian church was under pretty intense persecution at the time. They were people who were being arrested. They were being beaten. They were being pushed out to the edges of society because of their faith. Because interestingly enough, they were pushed out by the Jews in that area because many of the Jewish synagogues were very against Christianity. But they were also kind of stuck in the middle. They were pushed out of Roman society by the Greeks because they were also kind of in this middle place between both the Greeks and the Jews, and they just didn't fit, and they were being persecuted. And we know this from Paul's other writings and some of the other letters that he writes in the New Testament, that the Philippians were extremely poor. So not only are they being persecuted for their faith, are they being arrested, beaten, some being killed, but they were completely poor. And when you're poor and society is against you to begin with, there is no way to get a leg up. I mean, they were completely down. And Paul, looking at their circumstances, looking at their situation, he says this. He says, hey, you know what it's like? It's like when you go to the doctor, like, doc, my arm hurts right here, and when I bend it, my elbow hurts bad. And the doctor's like, okay. And he looks at it and he examines you. He's like, okay, I've got your solution. Don't do that. That's kind of what Paul does. Paul, we're worried. We're poor. We're being persecuted. And Paul's like, oh, man, okay, you're worried? Tell you what, just don't do that. Don't do that anymore, okay? Instead, you should pray about it. But Paul goes beyond that, and he gives them a promise from God attached to that kind of simple proverbial advice. And he continues on to say this: don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. And he goes deeper: tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then, okay, so do this first. After you do that, then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds. Okay, so Paul says first, don't do that. Okay, stop the worrying and start praying. And then when you do that, this is what's going to happen. Okay, this is God's promise that what's going to happen is an exchange. Okay, you tell God what you need and you ask him to move in your life. And in exchange, you will experience God's peace. Take your overwhelming situation, boil it down into how you would describe it. Bring that to God. Tell him what's going on in your life. And when you do that, in exchange, God will give you his peace, and it will guard your heart and your mind. It's the cure. It's the antidote to worry and anxiety. And it's simply this. It's coming to God with your problem. Okay, again, it sounds so like unrealistically simple, right? And I thought an overwhelming problem requires an overwhelming solution. Well, let's look at some other passages in Scripture that talk about this very same thing. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Apostle Peter wrote this. He says this: cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Take your problems, take your worries, take your overwhelming situation to God. Cast that anxiety, cast your burden onto God because he cares for you. Psalm 34:4 says this: I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and he freed me from all my fears. This is interesting in this passage. The writer says this: I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. And what was God's answer? He doesn't say that God's answer was to blow up his situation and make everything work out in his favor. You know, for the Philippians, the answer was not necessarily that God gave me a full bank account full of money and made me the most popular person in town and so no one persecuted me anymore. That's not what he did. He says this: I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. How'd he answer? He freed me from all my fears. He broke the hold that anxiety had on my life. He broke the hold that worry and stress had on my life. He set me free from being overwhelmed. When I prayed, when I cast my burdens on God, when I decided, rather than worry, rather than live in the situation where I just say I'm not okay and I just have to live with that it's not okay to not be okay, I said, rather than do that, I'm going to take my burdens, I'm going to take my worries, my anxiety, my overwhelming situation, and I'm going to give it to God, and I'm going to hand it over to him. And this is how your loving Father works. This is how God, your Father, who loves you, who cares about you, who sees you in your circumstances, this is exactly how he works. Bring your burdens to him, and he will free you, and he will give you peace that will guard your hearts and minds. That's not really that overwhelming a solution, is it? But that's kind of what God says. And yet I know there's people who are in this room, even me, if I'm being totally honest, and you're going, but Chris, listen, I've done that, okay? I prayed. I told God what was happening in my life. I asked him to set me free of this. I told him I was anxious and stressed and overwhelmed and under so much pressure. And I told him that at work, things were falling apart. And I told him that in my marriage, things were falling apart. And I told him that in my finances, things were falling apart. And I told him that in my health, things were falling apart. And I prayed and I prayed. But I don't feel peace. Nothing happened. How can this little fix that you're talking about be true when I've tried it, when I've gone down that road? How do you account for that? How do you account for the fact that I've done that, and yet here I sit, my circumstances are the same, and I still feel the weight of being overwhelmed? Well, Paul continues in Philippians chapter 4, and I think what Paul says is something that when we read this passage is the easiest for us to miss, but it may be the most important part of this section of scripture. It may be the very thing that all of God's promise hinges on, and that if we miss it, we may miss out on God's promise. It's the one thing that needs to be in place in order for God's promise of his peace, of freeing us from our anxiety, that needs to be in place for it to be fulfilled. And this is what Paul says. He says, when you pray, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. As you live in Christ Jesus. These six little words are really the key part of this verse, but they are the easiest to miss. And this is what Paul is saying, and this is what God wants you to know, and it's that God's promises are fulfilled in the context of a life lived in and for Jesus. God's promises, the things he says he's going to do for us and in our life, God's promise to bring you peace in an overwhelming situation where you can't keep your head above water, his promises are good, but God's promises are only fulfilled in the context of a life that's lived in and for Jesus. There's a context to our life where this promise makes sense. It doesn't say that his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you come to him and you cast your burdens on him. And then after you cast your burdens on him, you step away from Jesus and you go back to living life the way that you used to live it. And you live it the way you wanted to, and you live for yourself, and you make the choices you want to make for yourself, and you don't necessarily worry about what God says about how you should be living your life, because you're good now, because your problem was taken care of, and you're experiencing his peace now, and then, oh, wait a minute, it's kind of getting bad again, I need to come back, and I need to get my Jesus booster shot, and then it's, oh, thank you for your peace, and then again, awesome, now I can go back to living any old way I want. That's not what God's promise is. God's promise is this. Is that his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus, as you commit your life to living it for and in Christ, a Jesus-centered life. God's promise to experience his peace is only good as long as you're living in Jesus, as long as your life is completely surrendered to him. I know this is true because there's another passage in Scripture that confirms this. We already talked about 1 Peter 5:7, where Peter says, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you, he cares about you. Well, let's look at what Peter said right before that in 1 Peter 5:6-7. He says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. What is the context in which we can cast our anxieties on God and that he will lift us up? It's a context where we humble ourselves under God's hand and we say, God, I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm making a choice that I'm going to live my life for you. I'm surrendered to you. My desires, my wants, all of my life, everything, I'm committing it to you. And when I humble myself under God's hand, when I say, okay, God, whatever you want, whatever it is, that is the context under which I can say, I am overwhelmed, I need your peace. And God will say, of course I'm going to give you my peace because you're living for me. You've humbled yourself to me. You're living for my purposes, and I will always provide for my children who are living their lives for me. Now, this is an overwhelming solution to an overwhelming problem. Because if the problem is that my life is, that I'm overwhelmed by the circumstances and the struggles of life, worry, stress, anxiety, an overwhelming solution says this: okay, well, you need to surrender everything. You need to surrender all of your life to God because that is what God is asking for. Can I just be totally honest? Like, Scripture does not talk about a relationship with God it doesn't equivocate, okay? When Scripture talks about a relationship with God, it is always an all-in relationship. It is never a, hey, whatever works for you, just pop on by and, you know, maybe give me a call sometime and we'll hang out. That's not how Scripture describes a thriving, healthy, and growing relationship with God. In fact, the relationship with God that he wants to have with you is best described or illustrated by marriage, where God says, okay, let's enter into this commitment, this covenant with each other, and when we do that, I will give you everything. I'll give you my peace. I'll give you provision. I will meet your needs. I will take care of all of those things. If you seek our relationship first, I will take care of everything else. That's a promise of God that Jesus gave us. That's the relationship that God sees with us. It's a marriage commitment. It's a covenant. And God's not okay to stand at the altar and say, I do to us, I'll give you everything, as evidence and proved by the fact that he gave Jesus, that Jesus gave his life for us. God's not okay to stand at the altar and say, I do, and then when it's our turn to say our vows, to say, you know what, God, I do, except for the part where, fill in the blank, except for the part where you ask me to surrender you my finances. I mean, that's crazy, God. I mean, it's my money. I earned it. Except for the part where you ask me to surrender my relationships to you, God. I mean, I want to do what I want to do with the people I want to do it with. And like, whose business is it to judge me for living my life and having my relationships any way that I want? Except for that part, God, I'm gonna forego the part where you say to forsake all others. But I'll enter into this. And then I can't wait, God, to experience your peace and your provision. I can't wait to experience the benefits of the commitment and covenant relationship that you have with me. You can't say I do to God in every area of your life except for the few that you want to hold on for yourself. The overwhelming situation to your overwhelming problem is complete and total surrender to God. It's what it is, and that's what it needs to be. And why? Why is God give us a solution that's so, it feels like so much? Why is it so such a big deal? Well, it needs to be, and it needs to be because of this. Because if you don't trust Jesus with all, eventually you won't trust him at all. If you don't trust Jesus with all of your life, if you are not on the path to trusting him with all of your life, then the reality is eventually you're not going to trust him at all. And I know this is true because I've seen it time and time and time again in the lives of people who have been friends of mine, people who we've worked with in churches. Just I've seen it over and over and over again. It's played out so many times in the lives of people I know. They experience Jesus for the first time. And they come into that relationship with Jesus. And man, the freedom and the hope and the joy that comes from beginning a relationship with Jesus, when your eyes are opened and the opportunities from your life for your life are so big and so real, and you begin to just have a sense of the scope of God's plan and purpose for your life. It's amazing. I mean, following Jesus is the best life you could ever live, and starting that, beginning it, is absolutely incredible. And when people begin following Jesus, they follow so closely because it's awesome. Until in the course of following Jesus, he begins asking you for things that maybe you don't want to give up. And this is what I see, people who love Jesus, whose lives have been set free. There's this point where it's like Jesus begins to ask them for X. And they're like, but I don't want to give up X. And so they don't. They say, you know what, I can keep following Jesus. I'm just going to hold on to this part for myself. And it's going to be okay. And then they try to live this kind of like double life, a life of following Jesus, but also a life of living for themselves. And as they walk forward, inevitably they get into a circumstance where life is overwhelming, where life is too much. And what do? They call out to God. God, I need you. God, rescue me. Come and move on my behalf. I cannot make it on my own. And they hear nothing. And they don't understand, God, why aren't you moving for me? Why aren't you solving my problem? Why aren't I experiencing your peace? Why aren't you doing this for me, God? And yet a careful examination of their life would show that time and time again, they've made a decision to hold on to the things that God is asking them to let go of, or to not step in the direction that God is asking them to walk in. And as a result, they've stepped out from under God's promise. And when they step out from under God's promise and they don't experience God's promise anymore, they ask for God's peace. Well, I prayed over and over again. God, why aren't I experiencing your peace? Why am I still struggling with anxiety? Why am I still struggling with these things? I don't understand it. Well, inevitably, when God doesn't move and answer in their behalf, what's the only conclusion that someone can come to when they've made a total decision in their mind to not surrender all to God? It must mean this, that God is wrong, God doesn't care, and this doesn't work. And so all it does is it causes that person to take a step farther and farther away from God. And I'm telling you, I've seen this over and over and over again. Someone whose life was transformed by God, who loved him, and then you see them a year later, and you look at their life, and they are back exactly where they were before they began following Jesus. And the reason they are there is because they were unwilling to surrender everything to God. God asked them to give something up. God asked them to do something, and they said no. And they stepped out from under his promise. And the worst part of all of that, is this, is that not only have they stepped away from relationship with Jesus now, and now they don't trust him anymore. They don't trust him as much as they did because it looks as if God's promises aren't good. They believe God's promises aren't true. So it's validated what they've thought about not surrendering everything to God anyway. And the worst part is this, is they were this close to God's best for their life. They said yes to Jesus. They were right there until they started to say no to Jesus. And you can only say no to Jesus so many times until your no is the permanent answer and the yes is off somewhere in the horizon and you're trapped in your own situations and circumstances. And it's not that God's promises aren't good for you anymore. It's not that you can't re-enter into a relationship with God where his promises will be true. It's that you have taught yourself and trained yourself this: I can't trust God. And when you've taught yourself to believe that you can't trust God with your unwillingness to be obedient to him and surrender all to him, you'll never enter back into a relationship with him because you don't trust him. Because the reality is this, is if you don't trust Jesus with your all, if you don't give him your all, eventually you won't trust him at all. Many of you guys have seen that happen in the lives of your friends. It's happened. It's a thing. Maybe you're in a position right now where you can feel yourself being pulled away. You're struggling with the fact that you're not seeing God move in your life the way that you expected him to or the way that you wanted him to. And maybe you're on that bubble right now. Can God really be trusted? Do these things that Chris talks about on Sunday, I mean, they're really nice little proverbs, nice little thoughts, but like, it doesn't seem like maybe they're true. I don't know. Is this stuff true? Can I trust this in my life? And you're sitting on that bubble, and I'm telling you right now, do not let that bubble burst and leave you sitting on the side where you don't trust God at all anymore. I'm telling you right now that you need to look at your life, if that's you, and say, am I really trusting God with everything? Do I live a life that's totally surrendered to God? Do I live a life that is humbled under God's hand? Do I live a life that is in Christ Jesus? Let me just give you a couple questions, okay? Just to ask yourself, because that question is kind of big, and there maybe you need to drill down a little bit to like get a clear picture of, do I live a life that's surrendered to God? Because honestly, all the times you've said no to Jesus, all the times that you've said no to God, it's easy to convince ourselves that we're right. It's easy to convince ourselves that, you know what, this person does this, and I know maybe it's, some people say it's not right, some people say it's wrong, but I see them doing it, and it's okay for me. And if it's okay for me, then God's got to be okay with it because he loves me and he's good. It's easy for us to deceive ourselves. So I'm going to give you two questions that you can ask yourself, two simple questions that will help bring clarity to whether or not you trust Jesus with all of your life, to diagnose whether or not you are totally surrendered to God and that your life is in a place where his promises can come true and his promises can be fulfilled in my life, particularly as it comes to being overwhelmed. Because I know this, you don't want to live overwhelmed. I don't want you to live overwhelmed, and God doesn't want you to live overwhelmed. So ask yourselves these questions to figure out, am I dealing with this because I have stepped out from under God's blessing? Am I dealing with this because my actions have somehow positioned me to where God's promises can't be fulfilled in my life because I haven't held up my end of the bargain on things? Two questions. First question to ask yourself is this: in what area of my life do I need to experience God's peace? Start by figuring out, in what area of my life am I not experiencing God's peace? Is there something where I am under a lot of pressure? Is there a specific area of my life where I need God to move more than any other? It may be that that is the area in your life that's a pressure point because that's an area of your life where you have not surrendered to God. It may be that in the area of your finances, that you are struggling because that is an area that God has asked you to surrender and you've kept saying no, and you've kept saying no, and you've kept saying no. And the pressure is starting to build and you're beginning to get overwhelmed in that area, that circumstance in your life because God's asking something of you. In what area of your life do you need to experience God's peace? Marriage or relationships, lots of pressure points being overwhelmed in marriage or relationships. Have you surrendered that relationship to God? Have you surrendered yourself to God? Are you in a relationship that God is comfortable with you being in? Is God asking you to step out of something Are you in a sexual relationship that's outside of God's plan for your life and you continue to move forward and God's asking you to live according to his plan for your sexuality, but you're saying, "No, what, God, I want to do it my way." Is there pressure in your relationship? It might be because you have not surrendered everything to God. So first question is this: what's overwhelming you? In what area of my life do I need to experience God's peace? Because that may very well be an area that you need to experience surrender completely to him. And then the second question to ask yourself to determine whether or not you're living a life fully surrendered to God is this: what have I been holding on to that God wants me to surrender to him? What have I been holding on to that God wants me to let go of? Is it a relationship? Is it a habit? An attitude? A behavior? Is there sin in your life that you don't want to stop because you like it? What is it in my life that I'm holding on to that God wants me to surrender? Here's what's great about this one. This is easy. I mean, this one really is pretty easy. Most of us, that thing comes right to mind. Most of us, it's right there. Now, no one's turning around to tell their neighbor, "Oh, I got the answer to this one, it's this." No one's doing that, right? I know, here's mine. But it's there, you know what it is. What is that thing that I've been holding on to that God wants me to surrender to him? Because God doesn't want to keep secrets from you. God wants you to know how to experience his peace. He wants you to know how to obey. He wants you to know how to live life in Christ and humble yourself under his hand. I mean, ask yourself this: what is the thing that other followers of Jesus do that you don't? What is the thing that people who are close to Jesus, what is the thing that they do that you don't do in your life? That may be the area of your life that you haven't surrendered to God. What is the area of your life that you don't want to talk about with other Christians because you know that they're going to think it's wrong? What is the area of your life that you don't want to bring up because you know that they'll disagree with it? You know that they're going to think you're living life wrong, and rather than have someone think you're living life wrong or feel like you're going to be judged, you'd rather just keep it to yourself. What is that area of your life? Because the reality is this, is that if there are other people who are sincerely following Jesus with all their heart and with all their life, and they are following Jesus this certain way, and you're following Jesus a completely different way, it may be that that's an area of your life. The thing that you don't want to talk about, the thing that you don't want to share, that you lay in bed and you justify and you say, you know what, it's okay. It's good. It works for me. I like it. It's convenient. You know, it's good. That may be the area of your life that God is saying, I want you to surrender this to me. What's the thing that God instructs us to do or not to do in his word, in the Bible, that you've just decided, you know what, I don't think that's for me. I know it's fairly clear, it's there, but you know what? My experience tells me that that's not accurate or that's not true, so I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to make a decision to live my life in a different way. What is that thing that God's word says that you've made a decision? I'm just not going to do that. I can guarantee you that that's an area of your life that you've not surrendered completely to Jesus, that you haven't let go of. The overwhelming solution to our overwhelming problems is complete and total surrender to Jesus. It's saying, God, my life, my everything, my all is yours. I'm completely giving it to you. And listen, I know this. I know that what God is asking each of us to give up, it may cost each of us a different amount. I know that area of our life where God is saying, you know what? I want you to let this go for me so that you can experience my peace. I want you to let this go for me so that you can experience my provision. I want you to let this go for me so you can experience my blessing. I know that for some of us, those things are going to be pretty cheap. For some of us, it's the cost of a $12 hard drive cable, right? And then all of a sudden, life is going to work. So for you, the cost isn't very high. For you, maybe it's just need to apologize to someone. For you, maybe it's just need to make something right. Or maybe you need to stop doing some small insignificant habit. Maybe for you, you need to, the thing God's asking you to give up, it's a $200 hard drive cost. And it's a little expensive. It's a little pricey. It's going to hurt more than the person who has to give up $12. Maybe God's telling you that the overwhelming solution to your problem is going to cost you a $500 logic board, a complete revamp of the computer of your life. I just tell you, I'm not insensitive to the fact that total surrender to God will cost us each different amounts. And I'm not insensitive to the fact that there are people here today that for you, complete and surrender to God feels like it's going to cost you everything. While you look across the room and you look at someone, it's just going to cost them nothing. But I'm telling you, it's not about what it costs someone else. It's not even about what it costs you. It's about what it benefits you. See, life totally surrendered to Jesus is the best life you could ever possibly live. And whatever the cost, whatever it is that God wants you to let go of, it is a price worth paying every single time. So God's message to you is stop holding on to those things I want you to let go of. Stop fighting me. Surrender. Trust me in this. Trust me and you will see me move. Because listen, the reality is that not trusting God, that's not getting you anything. Not surrendering to God isn't getting you what you want. So what do you have to lose in saying, God, I'll surrender you my life. I'll surrender you everything. I'll surrender you that thing I've been holding on to that I didn't want to let go because it's just for me and I decided I want it. I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to let it go to you. Ask yourself this question, in what area of my life do I need to experience God's peace? And what have I been holding on to that maybe God wants me to surrender? Don't those two questions really just kind of cut to the heart of things? Don't they just make it really clear about what God is asking of you so that you can experience his peace, that it can guard your heart and mind? It isn't complicated because you already know the answers. Because God doesn't want it to be complicated. He wants it to be simple because God wants you to know him. God's not trying to hide his guidance from you. God's not trying to hide his deliverance from you. He's not trying to hide the fulfillment of his promises from you. He's just saying all you got to do is just surrender everything. Just lay it down. You just have to be willing to let go of the things that you don't want to let go of in order to experience the thing that you have to have, and that's God's peace that passes understanding, that'll guard your hearts and your minds. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that you're moving in hearts and minds, and you're speaking to us today, God, even in these moments. And Jesus, I know that there are people who are crushed under the weight of overwhelming circumstances right now. And whether those are circumstances of their own making, whether those are circumstances of someone else's making, whether those are circumstances that it just happened because of life, God, doesn't change the fact that we need to experience your peace. We need to know your peace that will guard our hearts and minds. And Father, we admit and confess that, Lord, that'll only happen when we live in Christ Jesus. That the peace that guards our hearts and minds happens as we live in Christ Jesus, as we humble ourselves under God's hand. So I pray that you would speak to our hearts, God, that you would show us, am I surrendered to God? Have I given God everything? Have I opened up every door, every cabinet, every closet of my life to God and said, God, come in, organize it, move stuff around, do whatever you want in these spaces, Jesus. I'm letting you do it. I'm opening up to you. Or have I opened stuff up to God, but I've kept that one little cabinet closed where I can keep what I want to keep for myself and everything else is yours, God, but just not this one thing. And ironically enough, God, that's the one area of our life where we're under so much pressure, where we're most overwhelmed, where we're most stressed. God, I pray that today you would set people free. I pray that you bring freedom and hope and peace and joy and release as you help us to break through. With everyone's heads bowed and everyone's eyes closed, just today, in this moment, God wants you to know that step of total surrender to God starts with the decision to say yes to Jesus for the first time. And you might be in this room and you're not a follower of Jesus. Maybe church isn't your thing. You're not a Bible person. And this might even be the first time you ever heard anything like this. But God, there's something stirring in your heart and God's speaking to you. And you know this. You need this. You can't live life the way you've been living it anymore. It's not working. It's overwhelming. It starts by saying yes to Jesus. It starts with saying, you know what, Jesus, I'm opening the door to my life. I want you to come in and I want you to take it. And so today, if you want to say, I want to become a follower of Jesus, no one's looking around. I just want to pray for you. But if that's you, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to commit my life or recommit my life to him. I've been living it for myself. Just right now, slip your hand up so I can pray for you. Just where you're at, just slip your hand up. I want to follow Jesus. I need to give him my life. Thank you. I need to surrender it to him. I need to start now. Thank you. Okay, you're in this room, you're a follower of Jesus, but hearing this message, God has opened the eyes of your heart and you realize there are areas of your life where you have kept saying no to Jesus. He's asked you to let something go. He's asked you to give something up. He's asked you to take a step towards him or a step away from something else. And you have said, no, I'm living the way I want to live. I'm living the way I want. This is what's best for me. And you know in your heart today, God's speaking to you. He's convicting you. He wants to fulfill his promise to you, but he can't. And you know you need to let that thing go today. If that's you, just as an act of commitment, an act of covenant to God that says, yes, God, I am willing to surrender my life to you, everything, all of it. I'm willing to give you all the dark corners that I've been hiding for myself. I want you to have it all. If that's you today, I want to surrender. Just slip your hand up so I can pray with you now. Hands all over the room. Dear Jesus, I am the first one to pray, God, with everyone else in this room. God, that there are areas of my life that I have not surrendered completely to you. God, that there are things that I've held on to for myself. God, attitudes or behaviors or habits, Lord, that you've been asking me to step away from, that you've been asking me to surrender to you, but I've just said no because it might be too hard to let that go. It might cost me too much. It might be too difficult, or I just simply don't want to because I like it. And Lord, today I pray with every other person who's lifted their hand, Lord, that whatever the cost, whatever it costs me, Jesus, whatever I have to let go of, whatever I have to walk away from, Lord, it's worth it today. And so I surrender my life to you. I surrender it all to you, Jesus. And I pray that you would just take it, that you would take it now. I humble myself, God, under your hand. And I commit myself to obeying, to following you, Jesus, as I live life in you. And I ask this, Lord. I ask this at the same time as I ask you to set me free from the overwhelming circumstances of my life. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring me peace that'll guard my heart and mind. God, knowing that I've positioned myself to where your promises can be fulfilled, so let your peace sweep through this room. Guard our hearts, guard our minds. Let the peace of God surround us. Let us know that you have us, that you're holding us in the palm of your hand, that we can cast our burdens, we can cast our anxieties on you because you care about us, that you would never call us to go somewhere that's not for our best interests. Lord, that if it's not good, you're not done, and we just continue to step forward trusting in you. I pray that you bring freedom and breakthrough and hope today, Jesus. Lord, we love you, and we pray all of this in your wonderful and holy and awesome name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.